The Muslims aren't just coming, they are here in our U.S. Congress. Isn't this just good diversity?
You know, we always said the Muslims are coming. Well, guess what? I think we're here. We're not only everywhere in all kinds of different governments, but mashallah, wow, we're in the United States Congress.
Today, Jen Markell talks to Amir Sarfati about many pertinent issues. Who is the restrainer mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 2? Is Brexit a part of the revived Roman Empire scenario spoken of in the book of Daniel? And what about the tide of blatant anti-Semitism sweeping the globe? Isn't this the oldest hatred, and why won't it go away? In fact, why is it accelerating in these last days? That and much more with Jen Markell and Amir Sarfati. Here is Jen Markell.
And welcome to the program. Yes, the Muslims, well, they're coming. They're in the United States Congress, as we open with that little clip of Representative Tlaib of Michigan making that rather astounding statement. Frankly, you know, these Muslims, Representative Tlaib, Representative Omar from Minnesota, they're duly elected. That's fine. But what isn't fine is that they have imported into Congress a growing agitation against the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And the Democrat Party has been moving away from Israel for a decade or more and has now entered, I think, quite frankly, into a danger zone. Now, we're going to talk about that just a little bit, but we're going to talk about a lot of things. And I'm going to be bringing on for the hour Amir Sarfati. Amir heads the ministry known as Behold Israel. He's spoken at three of my Understanding the Times conferences. You hear him frequently on Understanding the Times radio, and he'll be one of my guests this coming Saturday, September 21st. Understanding the Times 2019. Amir is also an Israeli tour guide and an author, and we carry his book, The Last Hour, An Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. I do want to talk about the rising tide of anti-Semitism. We'll move into that. Hopefully might even get to some of the issues going on in Europe. But first, Amir, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jen. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Listen, I follow you so diligently online and all, and I just want to spend a few minutes, because you touched on a topic intriguing to most who love at least the theme of Bible prophecy, and that is your message on just who is the restrainer, the overall message of the restrainer. Differing views, of course, of just who is the restrainer, and the restrainer is someone of great power who's hindering the advance of the Antichrist, that would be in the tribulation. The passage comes out of 2 Thessalonians 2. It says the restrainer will be taken out of the way. Tell me, who do you feel the restrainer is?
I've always said that the restrainer is, of course, the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is in us. The Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as long as the believers are in this world, they do have the power of restraining because of the fact that it's the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit is residing within the believers. That's the way of God to be within us. I think that the different twist that I had in that message is not about the restrainer as much as about what exactly is being restrained.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, and I know most teachers also hold that opinion, that it's the Holy Spirit that restrains the supernatural evil of Satan and manifestation of satanic manifestation and all that, which is nice. But the more I read in the Bible, I see that Satan never changed his mind. He never changed his ways. And he's doing the things as always, the same things. And the Bible says that the coming of the lawless one will be just exactly as the way of Satan, not a different way, not something greater and more intense. I was looking throughout the scriptures to see who is actually restraining his power. Is Satan ever trying to restrain his power? I don't think so. He's like a roaring lion walking from one side to another, trying to see whom he can devour. So Satan is not out there to be restrained. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's to deceive. He's to sow division and all of that. And then I remember that one thing that intrigued me the most was how godly people who were called by God were able to influence God regarding his judgment and to to withhold the judgment or to somehow minimize it, and actually God loved it. God took pleasure in it. Whether it was the time of Abraham with Sodom and Gomorrah, whether it's with the time of Moses that begged God, you know, if it's not you, then don't take us from here. I don't want to go alone. And God said, Moses, I like you. And whether it's everything that comes after that, you can really see that we can plead before God. We can pray and ask God's mercies, and we can, I believe, we can restrain the judgment of God, because everybody knows judgment has to come. I mean, even Job knows that. And
right.
So judgment will come. It depends when. And
but Amir, the spirit of the Antichrist is already present, but he cannot be unleashed until this influence is gone.
If you really think about it, babies are being killed by the millions.
Yeah.
Family values are being replaced. There's really, I don't see where Satan is being restrained here.
No,
all I see is
he's not.
Judgment.
He's on the loose.
Oh, yeah. My point is, we, as long as we are here,
that's right.
We're the salt. And once we're out of here,
correct.
And the judgment is going to fall, and the judgment will fall because the judgment is due. Because
that's right.
Everything that is happening and has been happening for the longest time has to be judged.
Right, but he's given free rein during the tribulations, called the lawless one, and he'll use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders, lying signs and wonders, to deceive the people. And again, we're referring heavily here from verses in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9, 10, but talking about the restrainer, it's a message that Amir gave, and he posts most of his messages on YouTube, and you need to look them up and keep up to date with his updates as well. And you can do that through beholdisrael.org, beholdisrael.org, and you can just go to YouTube and type that in as well. I want to move just a little bit into some other issues, Amir, but I found that teaching, and it is available, folks, if you want to hear the full message. There's controversy, as a matter of fact, just who is the restrainer? And the fact that the church is gone in the tribulation, well, that's a huge restrainer. As we've just said, we're holding the lid on a lot of things because the church is still here. At least we're trying as much as possible. I just want to touch on a few other topics. I want to just hit on Brexit for just a minute, Amir. You and I are both keenly interested in Europe, and that's because we believe that it's probably going to become the revived Roman Empire. Again, that's right out of the Bible. We are watching some efforts on the part of Theresa May to possibly bolt from the European Union. It's called Brexit. And in our discussions privately, you and I don't feel that's going to happen because Europe needs to be united and the Antichrist probably will headquarter there. I think that's fairly accurate what I just said, correct?
Yes, it is fairly accurate. I believe that Europe, although it's kind of divided, it's
still
one entity.
Mm-hmm.
It's still one entity, and the leader will be the leader of that entity. And let's not forget, the EU has been there for the longest time right now, and there's a whole generation of people that were born to this reality of EU. They don't really see themselves as British as much as European. They are so used to being a part of the EU. I'll give you an example. You just get to an airport all over Europe. Right now, because of Brexit, you see that there's a separated line for the UK people because they're no longer allowed to use the EU line for passport control. That's one little thing that makes them so angry because they were in that shorter line just up until a few days ago. So they are now very confused. There's two problems in Europe. There is a younger generation that is completely brainwashed by the liberal media, and there is the Islamic, I would say, immigration that is giving not only its second but third generation already, and they prefer to see themselves European. That gives them a much more sense of freedom to move about everywhere and to do business with everyone. Who is the one that wants the good old UK? if not the 60 and 70-year-old ones mm-hmm. that are watching their country falling apart.
Both you and I have messages that look at Europe and the rise of global government, and we even name the names of some leaders who are prominent in this. You know, I mean, it may sound conspiratorial, but really it is not. From the Rothschilds to the Rockefellers to dozens of others, even George Soros, they don't hide their evil intent. The evil intent is one world, one government, probably headquartering out of Europe. Again, that's probably
they
the revived
started in Europe. All
yeah,
of them
all of that started in Europe.
Europe.
And folks, that's why I often will emphasize Europe. And I know Americans, and not that my audience is just American, but I know Americans like to hear about America. But I've got to make some inroads here into understanding Europe a little bit better. So I think the conclusion is Brexit isn't going to happen. And it's because of Bible prophecy. That's what it gets down to. Now, you won't find that in the headlines of the New York Times or anywhere else. But that is the case. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Let me just reset a little bit. I'm talking for the hour with Amir Sarfati, and you can learn a lot more at beholdisrael.org. We happen to carry his book, The Last Hour, An Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. Find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org. olivetreeviews.org. You can call us at any time. You can access my print and e-newsletter where it's posted as well. And Amir is one of my speakers, September 21st, Understanding the Times 2019. And that will also include a number of other speakers, Jack Hibbs, J.D. Farag, Pastor Robert Jeffress, yours truly. And we'll just have a lot going on that particular day. Also want to reference a conference coming up in Toronto. We'll do that a little bit later so we don't run all the conference activity in together here. Amir, I'm going to move on just because a lot of topics to cover with you and short time. But let me move on to the troubling issue that's resurfacing. It's the age-old hatred, and here it comes again. Never went away, but my goodness, accelerating. And folks, on our YouTube channel now, we're putting images and photos. So if you want to access, post it under Jan Markell. We'll have a picture of this Belgian carnival float with Jewish puppets, grinning Jews, a rat, money bags. What am I morphing into here? Simply the revival of the, I think, the oldest hatred, anti-Semitism. We'll just spend a few minutes on it. But here's an article going along with this picture. Again, the Belgian carnival float, puppets, Orthodox Jews. It says the participants in a street celebration in the Belgian city of Aalst paraded giant puppets of Orthodox Jews, a rat atop money bags, and then the chief rabbi saying, basically, this was shocking, contains typical anti-Semitic caricatures from 1939. I did touch on this last week with Pastor Tom Hughes, but I want to talk to Amir about it just a moment. Amir, what were your thoughts when you saw this Belgian carnival float?
I was just preparing to give a message on where was God in the Holocaust.
During that week,
I think that when I gave the message from Jerusalem, that was a day and a half after that float was on the streets of Aalst. By the way, I've been to Aalst in Belgium. I've been to that city. I know that city pretty well. So I wasn't surprised because my whole message was all about that. It was interesting to show it to the group that I was teaching and have them guessing what year do you think this one is from, and all of them are wrong, of course, because they thought it's from the 1930s, and it was 2019. So I was not surprised, but I'm saddened to see how gullible people are. I believe that we have a generation of people that don't even know what anti-Semitism is. I believe that I saw yesterday, it was published, that half of the British people don't even know what anti-Semitism is. I think that when this hatred is being injected to their minds, but in a way of culture, in a way of some sort of justice, in the way of fighting for the underdog and, and for the poor, there's a whole wave of let's redistribute the wealth in the world, like Ocasio-Cortez, that she basically believes that the people with money should work hard so they can give it to the people without money. But it's not about money or no money. She believes that people that work hard needs to give the money to people who don't work hard at all. And you can see it's a mindset that although you can see what's going on in Venezuela and what's going on in other parts of the world that tried that horrific human experiment, it's a delusional thing. I am watching a demonic presence in the world today, but mostly in Europe right now, that is causing people to be delusional.
Yeah, it does. But, Amir, it also causes them to be delusional in the church. I want to play just, it's a one-minute clip here of this Rick Wiles, and he's an online broadcaster. Sadly, he's got Christians, evangelicals watching him. You may say, oh, Jen, this is extreme. This is fringe. I'm sorry, folks. This is not as fringe as you think it is. This is broadcaster Rick Wiles and how it's creeping in to the evangelical church.
We are going to reveal to you how Kabbalah wizards in Israel are scheming with American evangelical church leaders to use President Donald Trump to pave the way for the building of a third temple in Jerusalem. I'm aware that some people think I'm obsessed with talking about Zionism and Kabbalah. They say I should move on and talk about Bible prophecy and the coming of the Lord. But I don't know how anybody can ignore the bizarre religious alliance between Israeli Kabbalah wizards and American evangelical church leaders. Apostate American evangelicals are in a weird marriage with satanic Kabbalah mystics in Israel. On top of it, both are claiming that President Trump's name is identified in Bible prophecy through numerology. It's one of the most bizarre things I've ever witnessed in my 40 years of walking with Jesus Christ.
Okay, I know that sounds strange. He's got a lot of followers. By the way, what he's suggesting, none of it is true, because evangelicals haven't really yoked with, believe me, they haven't yoked with Kabbalah. It is kind of an evil thing.
I think he's mixing two things.
Yeah, he's mixing. Yeah, I get
that. He's mixing Kabbalah and numerology and all of the stuff that, by the way, you and I are always coming against.
Absolutely.
Yes, and he's tying it with some things that are happening in the Middle East due to the election of Donald Trump, such as the recognition of Jerusalem and all of that. Now, Donald Trump has never in his lifetime expressed the desire to have a third temple in Jerusalem or to build it for
us.
And I've always taught that when the Antichrist will come, the difference between the peace that the Antichrist will introduce and any peace deal that Donald Trump may ever introduce is the temple. That's the missing component in the Trump peace plan that the Antichrist. That's why when Daniel said in English, all of you guys are getting it wrong, I'm sorry, but in English it says he will confirm a covenant. But in the Hebrew it doesn't say confirm, it says he will increase. Increase means he will make the regular spectacular. He will make the ordinary extraordinary. In other words, if everybody's talking right now about Palestinian state and some borders and this and that, comes the Antichrist and says, I'm going to make it way more spectacular than that. I'm going to give you a chance to build your temple. This is an explosive that no world leader today is going to touch. But after Ezekiel's war and after we're out of here, oh, yes.
Oh, yes, indeed. I don't want to quite leave yet, though, Amir, this new hostility towards Israel and the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, in my second segment, which we're going to take a break and then head into that, and I also want to talk a little bit about these three new U.S. Congresswomen, Representative Tlaib, Representative Omar, and Representative Ocasio-Cortez, because, again, this anti-Israel sentiment, all right, it's been in Europe for a long time. It's been in America as well, but it's not been, let's just say, overwhelming prominence in America. It is now, and it's creeping more so. And the Democrat Party is not pushing back, particularly against these three young women. We'll talk more about that. Just where is it going? I want to read a headline from a Polish newspaper, How to Recognize a Jew? My goodness, the paper says, recognizing Jews by their anthropological features, their way of speaking, the way they look, the methods of action, the method of disinformation they give. The headline is going to say, fight them. It can no longer be this way. There's a sentiment growing. It's going to blossom in the tribulation. The Antichrist will be their friend. Then he'll turn on them and be even more anti-Semitic than we can imagine. I'll come back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Welcome to Understanding the Times 2018. Tim has come all the way from Iowa. Nick and Tina from Vancouver, Canada.
I'm Darlene from New Jersey.
I'm from the great state of Texas.
Glenn, how many times have you been to the conference?
About 19.
Been following Jan for about the past year. She's such a blessing, very informative.
And it's just a joy to see that people are seeing the importance of end time study and eschatology.
One third of the Bible is prophecy, and pastors these days don't really want to even touch on that.
And it's all pointing toward Christ coming back and how the things in the Bible are being fulfilled. I was so inspired.
Be sure to come out and meet Amir Sarfati this coming September 21 at our annual fall conference just outside of Minneapolis. Amir has a global following as he teaches in many nations and ministers to those who have a longing for his appearing. Christ's imminent return may have been dropped from many pulpits, but Jan and Amir try to keep hope alive with frequent discussions. More in just a minute.
What do you think the state of the world is going to be in right after the rapture?
Well, with the restrainer gone, I think it's going to be... We think we have anarchy now and chaos now. We haven't seen anything yet.
Just what are the seals of Revelation? We are carrying a 10-DVD set, 20-part study, produced by Pastor Billy Crone on the seals. This documentary takes you on an in-depth journey through the first half of the tribulation from which the church is absent. Featured in the production are Jan Markell, Dr. Dave Reagan, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Nathan Jones. Find it in our web store, olivetreeviews.org, or by calling us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. It will also be available in our print and e-newsletter. The cost is $45 plus $6 shipping in the U.S. The Seals, a panoramic view of the first half of the tribulation, 20-part study, would be ideal for your small group or adult Sunday school class. Check it out today.
Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the Muslim Brotherhood had successfully infiltrated into the House of Representatives of the United States of America. I think that you can see that how all of them, at least Talib and Omar, they're walking surrounded with all of these people, standing proud and walking down the aisles and kicking anyone that is not, you know, aligned with them aside and proudly saying Islam has infiltrated. We're now inside the Holy of Holies of the nation of
that's
the United States, and that's the Congress.
Let's return to the discussion with Jan Markell and her guest Amir Sarfati. You can learn more at beholdisrael.org and find his book, The Last Hour, in our bookstore at olivetreeviews.org. Jan and Amir minister together in Toronto, Canada, May 11. They will say more about that shortly.
Wednesday, House Democrats will introduce a resolution condemning anti-Semitism. This comes after freshman Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar made more comments that leaders of her own party are calling anti-Semitic. At an event, Omar suggested that supporters of Israel have, quote, allegiance to a foreign country.
I'm going to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country.
The 37-year-old from Minnesota and Michigan's Rashida Tlaib are the first Muslim women in Congress. They both support the movement known as BDS, which calls for a boycott of Israel until property is returned to Palestinians.
Omar is once again under fire for remarks that many are calling anti-Semitic. Omar suggested American supporters of Israel are pushing people to have a, quote, allegiance to a foreign country.
She found herself issuing another apology after suggesting over the weekend that AIPAC, the pro-Israel lobbying group, had bought the support of her colleagues.
And welcome back. Talking for the Hour with Amir Sarfati. Learn more at beholdisrael.org. One of my speakers coming up Saturday, September 21st. You can follow where he's going to be teaching and speaking, which is global. In April, he'll be in, I know he'll be in Romania for sure. We're talking a little bit about the anti-Semitic wave that's just sweeping the world, and now it's moved into America. Anti-Semitism would teach, believe, promote that the Jews are, some terrible things. control the banks and the media, or that perhaps simply are very good but sneaky with money. All of these terrible things that have been promoted for, frankly, centuries. But then it branches into anti-Zionism, that the nation of Israel should not exist, and that Christians should quit being the benefactor of Israel and, in the cause of social justice, start supporting the so-called Palestinians. And that's what's going on. And it's going on in the U.S. Congress. Amir Sarfati, your thoughts when you heard that we do have some Muslim representatives in Congress. Now, again, duly elected, all fine, but the sentiment is not so fine.
Well, I think that Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the Muslim Brotherhood had successfully infiltrated into the House of Representatives of the United States of America. I think that you can see that, how all of them, at least Talib and Omar, they're walking surrounded with all of these people, standing proud and walking down the aisles and kicking anyone that is not, you know, aligned with them aside, and proudly saying, Islam has infiltrated. We're now inside the Holy of Holies of the nation of the United States, and that's the Congress. I think that the group of people that should be shocked more than anything is the Jewish people in the United States of America. You have to understand, 80%, if not more, of the Jews, they vote traditionally for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And although in the last election it was 70%, but you're talking about the vast majority of the Jewish people vote for the Democrats. And by the way, this is something that Franklin Roosevelt managed to do, to swing them into the Democratic Party in a socialist flavor, is some sort of an alliance that he had with both the African Americans and the Jews. And ever since, they are actually in that party. So they've been the greatest supporters financially and morally and ideologically. You're talking about all of that. And suddenly, three members, young ones, and all of them are now speaking against not Israel necessarily, against the Jews in America. And the funny thing of all is that the Democratic Party is taking a resolution against anti-Semitism, but together with it, they lumped with it Islamophobia, white supremacy, and all of that, and they did not condemn the words
they
of
did
Omar.
Not. That's right.
They did not condemn the words of Omar, and the Jewish people in America were shocked. And I'm telling you, I'm not surprised, because the same thing happens right now in the UK. Jeremy Corbyn has replaced the Jews with the Muslims, because he sees the Jewish number is shrinking, the Muslim number is growing. There is an exchange that is happening before our very eyes that happened in the Labour Party in the UK. It's happening now in the Democratic Party in the United States. The Jews are being replaced with the progressive and then the liberals, as well as the Muslims. They're all buying the Muslim votes by having those type of vocals being
Amir,
heard.
I think our listeners are kind of intrigued as to why Jewish people always seem to hang with the Democrat Party. Let me just speak from some personal experience with my own Jewish family and all. And Jewish people often feel they should be supporting the so-called underdog. Okay, I use that word loosely. The downtrodden, so to speak. After all, the Jews have been the underdog, Holocaust and other things. And they perceive, I believe misperceive, that the Democrat Party will indeed take care of the downtrodden. In fact, the Democrat Party will get them dependent on government. Also, some of these Jewish people come out of socialist nations. My grandparents fled socialism in Russia. Help us better understand this.
You know, I've always said that Hitler killed three generations. He killed the first generation physically, the second one mentally, and the third one spiritually. Mm-hmm. I believe with all of my heart that the deception is something that is destroying the Jewish communities in the United States of America. They truly believe that the Democrats are actually really working for the poor, for the underprivileged. And let me tell you something, they totally forget that the people that actually abolished slavery were the Republicans.
That's right.
They totally don't understand that if anyone loved the words of Omar was the leader of the KKK.
Mm-hmm.
He actually said that he agrees with her. And I can tell you also that what they do is they're enslaving the underprivileged rather than making them free, breaking the chains. They put the chains on them. They put down the black Americans. They put down all minorities so they will forever owe them and forever vote for them. This is, by the way, why they want illegals to vote.
Oh, yeah.
They understand that when they give the illegals the rights, the illegals forever be grateful to them.
Well,
and they will vote for them.
They will. I have a whole message on how U.S. presidents have affected the Jewish people. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt, World War II, actually turned his back on the Jews of Europe. He did not want to get involved and help them. There's all sorts of ways we could have, and we chose not to. But the Jews stuck with him anyway, by and large. And I think it's interesting, Amir Sarfati, and he's my guest for the hour. Learn more at beholdisrael.org. I think it's interesting that in the last election, they began to swing a little bit more towards Donald J. Trump. But I just want to move to a couple of other issues here related. By the way, folks, there is a conference coming up that we want you to know about, and that is the Awaiting His Return conference in Toronto, Canada. It is Saturday, May the 11th, and the speakers include Jack Kibbs, Amir Sarfati, Barry Stagner, and yours truly. You do need some tickets. Go to beholdisrael.org, and they will direct you to a link where you, the tickets, I think, are only $15. So 1,500 plus seats are now sold, and there's still room for 1,500 more seats to be sold. We hope you'll come on out to Church on the Queensway. Church on the Queensway in Toronto, Canada, Saturday, May 11th. We'll talk more as we get closer to the date about potential live stream and or DVD sales, things like that, because that's a Behold Israel decision. I just want you to put it on your calendar if you're anywhere near and you have loved ones anywhere near Toronto, Canada for Saturday, May the 11th. We carry Amir's book, The Last Hour, an Israeli insider looks at the end times. Find that at my store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, print an e-newsletter. You can call us as well. Amir, a couple of things here. I'm not quite leaving the topic yet of the marginalization of the Jews. And again, I read a headline here, How to Recognize a Jew. Poland's parliament faced international embarrassment recently. One of its lawmakers spotted a newspaper on sale at the parliament's hotel. How to Recognize a Jew, I referenced this first segment. You can recognize them by anthropological features. Hey, folks, that's called profiling. By their way of speaking, features of the character, the methods of action. Okay, I kind of know what that is. The methods of disinformation anywhere. Then the headline went on to say, fight them. It can no longer be this way. So that kind of morphed into a little bit of topic about some new Congress people in our U.S. Congress who are, let's just say, they are not pro-Israel. Amir, I'm not quite ready to leave this because, let me get to my little survey here. There was a recent survey, and now I'm going back again to the church. I played that clip of Rick Wiles in the first segment, and he represents the church, fringy perhaps, but nonetheless, evangelicals listen to him. Christian Post reports on a Lifeway Research survey, 77% of evangelicals over 65 still support Israel, her existence, and prosperity. Only 58% of evangelicals 18 to 34 say same. Adding to the survey, Joel Rosenberg and Chosen People Ministries, and they say, unless the church gives younger believers a healthy, balanced, solidly biblical understanding of God's love and plan for Israel, overall evangelical support for the Jewish state could be very well, it could plummet over the next decade as millennials represent an ever larger percentage of the overall church body. Amir, you address churches on a regular basis, and plenty in that congregation of attendees are younger people. You are connecting with some of them. How do you do that?
I believe that in this whole age group of, I would say, 18 to 30, a lot of them understand that they're being brainwashed. Mm. And they're being brainwashed in so many different areas. And one of them is, of course, Israel. And I think that especially when among the new believers, those that have this first love, the first thing they do is run to the Bible. First thing they do is eat and devour the Word of God. And that's where you find the truth. And that's where you understand God's heart for Israel. And God, if that's what God's heart for Israel, then that's what believers should have also. The problem that we have is that the millennials are attending more and more churches that don't teach the Word. Churches
sure.
that are more trendy in their music, in their feeling, in their supernatural things, in their healing. And then the the healthy teaching of the Word of God is not there. And to some degree, the teaching, if there is one, is actually against Israel in order to attract people that are into social justice.
Social justice, into, it's the new mantra.
You know, the rights of minorities and all that. So you can see that there is a small percentage of those young people that open their eyes to understand that the lie. Now, this is why, as a ministry, we invest heavily in that age group. And this year, we're going to bring 100 youth from more than 18 different countries from five continents. And we sponsor half of them completely. We fully sponsor half of them because we believe in bringing them to Israel, teaching them firsthand, on location, what's going on, teach them the Bible, let them see for themselves with their very eyes, and then send them back home to make a difference.
How can young people connect with you on these kinds of tours?
Well, first of all, they can connect with us through our website, and they can apply for a scholarship, and they can also register if they do have the funds, which we encourage them also to come. I mean, it's not only for those who cannot afford. But we believe in that age group, and we believe that the key, just as you said, is in investing heavily in that age group when it comes to Israel and when it comes to the Bible. On our website, they can find it. Next year, we're going to have another tour. Last year, we had 50 people. This year, we're going to have 100. Hopefully, next year, we might even have 150. I truly believe with all of my heart that it's not just an American thing. It's a worldwide thing. And we encourage parents and grandparents to maybe sponsor their children or their grandchildren by sending them to Israel to be exposed to the truth. And I promise you that once they're here, we'll send them back home on fire.
Yeah, I believe that. And they come out to my conference and other conferences that I know of, and they come out enthused. I'm not overly discouraged. I just had an email from a 21-year-old today who loves everything we talk about. This is not a lost cause, folks. It really isn't. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be taping a program, I think next week, with a couple of young people who are going to speak into this. But again, Amir, we've got events, for instance, the Catalyst Conference or the Justice Conference. These are for young people, and they'll have pro-Palestinian or Palestinian speakers, actually. One of them, the Justice Conference, will feature a Marxist, Cornel West, regularly, or Lynn Hybels at these conferences. And these young people will not hear the truth at some of these events. They'll hear social justice. Now, we've referenced that at least three times in this hour. We've got Relevant Magazine, which has turned into anti-Israel propaganda and is seducing some of these younger people. We've got some, I think, well, I'm going to say troubling theologies. I won't call them false, but I mean, I wouldn't buy into them. Kingdom Now Dominionism, that's pretty close to a false theology. And we've got a lot of young people believing that the church will make the world perfect, etc. Replacement theology racing through our churches. Christian Palestinianism is kind of new, and that's taking off. And Amir, you already referenced it, and that is, you know, what they should be hearing, they're not hearing in the pulpits. The churches are silent on this topic, the importance of Israel and how young people need to understand it. It's silent in our pulpits.
And that's, I think, this is the biggest epitome that we have in Christianity today. I cannot expect from a non-believer to love Israel and support Israel. Yeah. I mean, it's good if he does, but I cannot expect that from him because there's a lot of evil forces and brainwashing and spiritual attacks and blindness. But I should expect from those who attend the house of God to hear the word of God, I should expect them at least to know. And that's the problem. The Bible is not being taught. Parts of the Bible are being completely ignored, and Israel is being portrayed as an irrelevant thing for today, that the people of the past. It's so sad because almost every book contains things that are of the past, present, and the future. I mean, I'm looking at the book of Joel. I'm working on a message about the day of the Lord and how Joel talked about the day of the Lord at his time and about the invasion of the locusts at his time. And then he also referred to the day of the Lord that is coming on all of Israel and about a different type of locust that is going to come. He's talking about different wars. You know, he's speaking about something much bigger, and he's saying, tell that to the people of your generation, but I want you also to talk about the things for the generations to come. And that's the sad and tragic thing. They don't think about those things as in things of the present and the future. They only look at the Old Testament as something old and outdated.
And then this Israeli newspaper summed up this little survey that I've been talking about here for 10 minutes. It says, this is a generation, again, we're talking about the younger generation, that is suspicious of anything that is presented without explanation. They don't want to be political pawns. They don't adopt automatic views and position. In order to connect with them, in order to connect them to Israel, we need to make a case for why they should support it. Future U.S. policy towards Israel is at stake. That's an important line I just said, folks. Future U.S. policy towards Israel is at stake. Again, we're talking for this last segment anyway about young people drifting away from any kind of interest in God's covenant land and people. Younger people don't have the automatic support for Israel that their parents' generation had, and that's just a fact. We're going to wrap up our segment here, our hour, with a mirror, and what we need to cover in my closing segment is the so-called deal of a century. That's, well, quite frankly, the Israeli election is coming up here in the next week or two, April 9th, and then possibly following that is this so-called deal of the century. Amir Sarfati and I will talk about it in my closing segment. Learn more at beholdisrael.org. Find his book in my store, The Last Hour, it is called. Don't forget to look into that Canadian conference in Toronto. And I just want to say a word about our social media, because we've got a presence on Facebook, on Twitter, and Instagram. Our Instagram is absolutely dynamite, folks. Check it out on Instagram, Olive Tree Ministries. Beautiful, beautiful artwork being done over there. I'm coming back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Why are you at a prophecy conference?
Jack Hibbs gives the message in a way that is understandable, that is real.
You know, have courage, stand on the gospel, and fight.
So many things Amir said brings this book to life.
It was very clear, and he's a great storyteller. I loved it.
Listening to Jan and Amir and Jack Hibbs and JD, we realized we needed to find a church that actually taught the Bible.
We love hearing from listeners. You can always reach us at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Call us business hours at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or contact us through our website anytime at olivetreeviews.org. Amir Sarfati feels there is one issue that could defeat President Donald Trump in 2020, and that this should concern evangelical voters. They conclude their interview in the next segment and consider that issue. Stay tuned. Why not save the date of Saturday, September 21 for Understanding the Times 2019? Tickets go on sale June 1st for $25 and include lunch. We will be selling general admission seats only and no assigned seating. Speakers this year include Dr. Robert Jeffress, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Jan Markell. They will help you understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. Location once again is Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. The teaching is timely and the fellowship is unparalleled as you make friends for life. Save the date and visit our website's conference page for a list of hotels and other pertinent information. That's olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We hope to meet thousands of you September 21, just outside of Minneapolis.
He defends the Jews from their own party more than their own party defends them. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who sounded the voices against the anti-Jewish and the anti-Semitic voices of the Democratic Party itself. I believe that the Jewish people in America needs to wake up and understand there's never been a greater friend to Israel and to the Jews in America as President Trump.
This program is posted to our website, to oneplace.com, and to our YouTube channel on Saturday morning. keep up to date on issues that are of interest to Christians by checking our daily headlines at olivetreeviews.org. Click on the News category. Jan and Amir now conclude today's programming.
This tells you that being a believer does not necessarily mean I need to belong to a huge crowd, because let me tell you something, folks. We will always be the minority. Always. We were not even designed to be the majority. We are designed to be only, at the end, the only ones. But until He will make all things new, new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, where we are the only dwellers, we will always be the minority. Don't seek to be the majority, because you will not be. Wide is the path to destruction. Narrow is the path to salvation. You understand. To begin with, we're not of this world. We are citizens of the heavenlies. We are not. If you want to be like the world, look what's going to happen. Because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. The world will hear you when you speak to the world what the world wants to hear. The world will not hear you if you speak the truth.
And that's why I sometimes call this program Radio for the Remnant. And I know a lot of you contact me and you do feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel you're telling the truth and nobody wants to hear it. Well, please be encouraged. There is a remnant growing. It's around the world. Some of them came out to Understanding the Times events every fall, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I hope you'll consider doing that. Tickets will go on sale about June 1st. They're $25 a piece, general admission this year, and that includes lunch. So we hope you're getting a real bargain for just $25. The venue seats about 4,500 folks. We'll fill it up. Let me just quickly, I want to move into my closing segment here. Remember, this program is posted. You're leading busy lives. You're running around if you can't catch it on radio. My website, or even better yet, YouTube, where we're now accenting everything with photo illustrations of what we're talking about. It's under Jan Markell. You can subscribe under that channel. But I want to move in here quickly. This time's running out. To my closing segment with Amir Sarfati, beholdisrael.org. And off-air, talking a little bit to Amir, we got huge things coming up, like the Israeli election, April 9th, followed maybe by the deal of the century. What is that all about? Is Donald Trump going to betray the evangelicals who elected him and give away or divide Jerusalem, perhaps create a Palestinian state? Nobody better to ask that about than Amir Sarfati, who is an Israeli. Look, Israel is the eighth most powerful nation in the world. That's been declared here for about the last year. Why would any Israeli vote to undo that with possibly a weaker administration? Amir, address that.
First of all, Israel is no different than any other country when it comes to the demonic and satanic activity of the one world government and of the industrialist. And Israel is one of the movers and shakers of things in the world. And there is a great interest in the one world government and the Illuminati powers. There's a great interest in controlling the politics in this country. Great interest. And therefore, there is an unprecedented effort right now from the elites of the military and the security services and the banking system, the entertainment, the media. All of them are, I would say, ganging up against Netanyahu to smear him and to make him look bad in order to not have him again as prime minister. The problem that they have is that the facts on the ground are all in his favor. It is the best time we've ever had financially, the best time we ever had militarily. It is the best time we ever had politically. Israel has never been so desired by world leaders as it is nowadays. Second to the White House, the prime minister's office is the most visited office in the world by world leaders.
I did not know that. That is interesting.
Yeah. So my point is that it's very hard to come to the average Israeli and tell him it's so bad, we'll make things better, when things have never been better. But again, spiritual darkness and spiritual blindness is always having certain success. And I think, and I think you agree with me, there's a lot of parallels between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu.
Amazing.
I mean, the forces of darkness and evil that work against both of them are the same, the exact same. You guys have the American label on it, and we have the Israeli label on it. But it's exactly the same thing. And by the way, last time, in the last election, President Obama at the time used U.S. official government funds to fund the efforts to get Netanyahu not elected. At the time, it was called V15. It's Victory 15, basically. It was supposed to be a non-profit organization that is pushing for the other side to win. But it was funded by American government money. It was amazing. And the same Democrats are now talking about Russian collusion. I'm thinking to myself, weren't you those that tried to affect the elections in Israel just a few years ago?
That's right.
It's interesting that Netanyahu is definitely having to fight and fight hard. I guess where you want to go now, Jan, with me, is the whole peace deal.
Yeah, in our closing minutes, Amir, we hear about the deal of the century. You and I know that's even a silly term, but I've heard you address it online. And folks, get his online presentations on YouTube. That's the genre of today, and that's how you stay really up to date. But I've heard you address it, and I've heard you say, correct me if I'm wrong, that Donald Trump would not have moved the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on the 70th anniversary just to kind of turn around, stab her in the back, create a Palestinian state, divide Jerusalem? Not going to happen, you say.
Not only that, but Donald Trump, the day he divides Jerusalem, is losing his 2020 election.
Yeah.
Because the evangelicals are those that tipped this whole thing and eventually caused him to be elected. There's no doubt. And he knows that, by the way. He knows it very well. That's why last week he invited a lot of evangelical leaders. I'm not a big fan of all of them, but still, I mean, they were invited to the White House, and they were actually given a chance to tell the administration their opinion about this. All of them raised the concern that Jerusalem will be divided and the Palestinian state will be created. And I think that President Trump listened carefully to what they said, and also Vice President Pence, who is a devout Christian, I can say that, he also realized that America cannot talk in two voices. And if the voice is that Jerusalem is Israel's, and the voice is that we cannot create a Palestinian state unless the Palestinians themselves will behave as a state. And right now what we have, the Palestinians have never been more divided than they are today. Mm-hmm. They've never had so many inner problems, struggles, and violence as they do today. They've never been so weak internationally as they are today. They've never been so weak financially as they are today. And they still insist on paying stipends to terrorist families every single month. That alone is the deal breaker. And my point is this. I believe, and from tips that I got, and by the way, only six people ever saw the deal of the century. Everyone that tells you that he knows what it is, it's a speculation. Only six people saw it. But I can tell you one thing. If Ambassador Friedman saw it and agreed with it, then we can sleep good at night.
Okay.
Because Ambassador Friedman is one of the most devout Zionists I've ever seen. He loves Israel. He loves Jerusalem. He actually moved to Jerusalem right now. The old consulate building on the Agron Street is now turning into the Ambassador's Mansion. I want to tell you something. President Trump closed all the consulates in Jerusalem, not giving the Palestinians any consulate representation of America that is only for them. He directs everyone to the embassy. That's it.
You feel President Trump is Israel's best friend as a U.S. president, correct?
Not only that. I feel that he's the Jewish people in America's best friend.
Yes.
I believe that what we see today, he defends the Jews from their own party more than their own party defends them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who sounded the voices against the anti-Jewish and the anti-Semitic voices of the Democratic Party itself. I believe that the Jewish people in America needs to wake up and understand there's never been a greater friend to Israel and to the Jews in America as President Trump. I'm just saying the only thing we have to remember as believers is that when he's engaged in this whole deal, he has the interest interests of the United States of America, not of the evangelical church. He needs to take in consideration the Arab world, Europe,
You're right.
Asia. He needs to take in consideration so many things. So if he's going to present something, I'm sure not all of us will like it. But I can tell you one thing. I am banking, as always, on the refusal of the Palestinians to accept it.
Yeah, and I think that's a key, Amir, does. Yes. You hear about the peace partner. Israel doesn't have a peace partner. Palestinians are going to have to accept this, whatever it is, deal of the century, whatever you want to call it, peace treaty, probably not going to happen. We'll see. Folks, come on out Saturday, September 21st. Meet Amir, J.D. Farag, Robert Jeffress, Jack Hibbs, yours truly. Or if you're in the Toronto area at all, come on out and meet us Saturday, May the 11th, Church on the Queensway. Barry Stagner, Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, myself. You got to get tickets. BeholdIsrael.org. That will give you a link to over to get the tickets. And I believe there's quite a few seats left. The seats 3,000 anyway. Our event seats about 4,500 roughly. Check with us after June 1st for ticketing for Understanding the Times 2019. I need to go out of my program here only because I'm completely out of time. I've referred to and played a clip here about truth in this hour, and I hear again from many of you, and you are indeed, you are truth seekers, and finding the like-minded has been difficult. And thank you for trusting some of us with that information. Hundreds, even thousands of emails and letters tell me that you listen to this program, you listen to Amir Sarfati, my guest for the hour, you listen to J.D. Farag, you listen to Pastor Jack Hibbs, and others with an online and on-air presence, and I encourage you to continue to seek the truth. It can be a lonely road. Again, you can meet friends for life by attending some of these events we've talked about. Come on out this fall. Keep looking up. Never give up hope. And the blessed hope is our only hope. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You are the love song we'll sing forever. Bowing before you.
Today's issues are complex, and unless seen from a biblical perspective, seldom makes sense. Thank you for trusting us with this information each week on air and daily on our website and via YouTube. Contact us at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can connect 24/7 at olivetreeviews.org. Catch us each week here on Understanding the Times Radio and say with us, things aren't falling apart, they are falling into place.